Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Okay, Brad, you remember how last week we talked about the sites that will watch Disney.com for dining reservations for
you? Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like those are about to all get shut down.
Well, I sure am glad that we took the time to let everybody know that they existed so that we could... So did we, like, lead the shutdown here?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that Bob Iger listens to the show pretty regularly, so... I think he probably heard it and was like, what?
So totally not Orlando Sentinel or any of the million of other, you know, blogs, podcasts, et cetera, that jumped on. But us. We lived.
It was us.
Okay.
For sure. Okay. Us. So Disney Dining Buddy, which is not the site that we use, but it's a site that is pretty much the same thing as we use today, which is Thursday, September 24th, has shut down. At the request of Disney. So, yeah, it doesn't look like these websites are going to be around for very much longer. Probably before the Orlando Sentinel wrote their story on them, they'd just kind of been existing, and Disney didn't really care because probably not a whole lot of people used them. But I would bet that the Orlando Sentinel writing that story got them a whole lot more business, and Disney started to see... a whole lot more requests come from the same IP address and just decided to probably put an end to that.
So here's the part that bugs me, though, okay? So, you know, I hear about Disney Dining Buddy getting shut down, and I'm like, oh, well, that's sad, because that probably means that Scout is not long for this world, and, you know, and I still don't have all my dining reservations yet, so I would prefer that was not the case, but... I go and look at the site that is to me is the, you know, again, the most egregious, where they're actually selling ADRs specifically.
Last week's bad actor.
Yes, yes. And that site is still up and running. And in fact, I think has said something to the effect of, we'd love to talk to Disney if they ever, you know, if they communicate with us. Essentially saying Disney has not communicated with us, which to me is baffling, because... That would be the first site that I would think Disney would be in. And again, I recognize that I'm assuming that these people are telling me the truth. But, you know, that seemed a little bit odd to me. But yes, I do think that, and I appreciate that you have recognized that we're recording on Thursday, because I'm really concerned that by the time that this episode actually airs on Monday, everybody's going to be like, dude, like all of them are shut down now.
My theory on all this is that Disney has sent out cease and desists to the small sites that are, you know, just making a little bit of money to search Disney's advanced dining reservation site. And they're preparing to serve the real egregious ones with some legal paperwork that isn't just a like, hey, we suggest you stop doing what you're doing right now, and more like, hey, you have to stop this right now or you'll get sued out of existence.
I can see that.
I would think that Disney is really not interested in talking to someone who is making money off of something that is free and supposed to be a luck of the draw type of deal.
I'm going to reframe that. Disney doesn't appreciate people making money off the people they make money off of.
Right. But speaking of the dining reservations, I got my California Grill reservation, so it really doesn't bother me too much that Scout's going away, because I have no use for it anymore.
And I still need some Be Our Guest reservations, and I are, you know, at least a Be Our Guest reservation. And I still need my 50s primetime. I have reservations I need, my friend. So you will. You know what? If it gets shut down, since you've got all yours, you can now be responsible for checking the site 10 times a day for me. And you can just call me or just send me a text, and you could be my own little. You can be my own little Disney dining scout. I like it.
I charge $100 a search.
Done.
Perfect. So, yeah, we were really excited about the prospects of something like this, but. It would appear that Disney was not too excited about it. So kind of disregard last week's episode. It seems like all of this stuff is going away now. And let's move on with the show. So I thought it might be fun for us to talk a little bit about how we prepare for our trips, since we are both currently about 2 months out from a trip to Walt Disney World. I find it interesting to talk about, I guess, how people pack, what you carry on, what you don't, who in your family is in charge of what. I know my wife and I have pretty specific roles in the packing process. And so about 2 months out, you know, no packing is really taking place at this point, but our fast passes have been made, our dining reservations have been made, and at this point we're just kind of looking at, you know, what's the weather usually like that week that we're going to be there, and kind of trying to plan out what we're going to pack, what we're going to wear, stuff like that. When the time to pack comes around, my wife and I have our things that we're in charge of. My wife pretty much packs the clothing. I am a notoriously bad packer. I can't tell you how many trips I've gone on that I have arrived at my destination with no underwear or no socks or like one shirt. And so she has very graciously taken on the role of packing clothing, where I, in exchange, have taken on the role of gathering anything that has to do with any sort of electronic device. I'm in charge of all wires, computers, making sure that we have chargers for everything. And I'm in charge of tickets, trip itineraries, stuff like that.
So it sounds like we pretty much have the same breakdown because, you know, since getting married, I seldom know what I'm going to find in my bag when I go on a trip.
Isn't that amazing? I love it.
And I love it. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because you know what? Guess what, folks? I strangely am not that concerned with my fashion sense. And if you are, I can understand how that could be very frustrating to you to not know. I don't care. As long as I have enough clothes for the time period that I'm going to be there, whatever I'm wearing from day to day doesn't really matter. You know, my wife will ask me like the big questions like, are you going to need collared shirts? Do you want to have your sandals right with you? But when it comes down to which collared shirt it's going to be or which, you know, every once in a while she might hold two up and be like, which one of these do you want to take? And then I can make a decision. But other than that, who knows? It's going to be a big surprise for all of us when we get to find out what I'm going to be wearing in the morning. But yeah, she handles all of that. And I love that because I don't want to deal with it.
I know when we get to Orlando, I'm going to unpack my bag and I'm going to have basically outfits, things that match, things that go well with each other, a pair of pants that looks good with a shirt. You know, I'm going to have comfortable shoes. I'm going to have enough socks to wear if I need to, you know, change my socks in the middle of the day. I don't have to think about any of that, which is good because I would never think about any of that. And I know that she knows that when we get to Orlando, she's going to have a way to charge her phone at night. She's going to have a way to charge her phone in the park. And she doesn't worry about any of that.
Yes. Well, and see, my wife takes it a step further, and I know, and I think it's awesome that your wife gets very involved in like the fast pass planning process, the what we're going to do in the park plan. My wife will tell anybody who asks, I am just along for the ride. And you know, like I've actually seen people go, oh my gosh, so he doesn't let you get in, you know, so you don't even get to pick what you do. And she's like, I don't want to. She's like, he's the one who likes all this stuff. I mean, not that she dislikes Disney, but clearly I am the much more fanatic one of the two of us. And she's like, so he knows what we need to do. He knows the order we need to do it in. So I'm just going to let him take care of that. And so much like I don't have to worry about what clothes I'm going to wear because I know there's going to be clothes there. She doesn't have to worry about, okay, you know what? We're going to hit Magic Kingdom. And its opening time is going to be this. And so that means we need to get up at this time. That way we can get breakfast, hit the bus, get there. And the very first ride we're going to go to is this one. And then we've got fast passes here, here, and here. And I'm going to try to bump it up. And I'm going to try to get the fourth fast. You know, all that stuff is not something that she has to think about. And she loves that. You know, and again, it's just, it's all about what your strengths are. For you, I feel like that would drive your wife up a wall because she wants to be involved in that process to some extent.
She wants to be involved in fast pass picking. She wants to, because ever since we went on our honeymoon, it's been kind of a fun thing. Like, ooh, what are we definitely going to get to do? And so that's something that we both really enjoy. Planning flights and planning, where we're going to stay and minutia, like when we're going to have to get up and things like that. She would much rather just be told, like, hey, we're going to get up at 7 in the morning and we're going to go to Hollywood Studios. She would much rather just be along for the ride and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. My wife is totally like, I don't care what flight we're taking. You just tell me what flight we're going to get on because, I will sit there and, maybe 6 months out, I will start looking at flights and I will start comparing. Okay, what's the average cost for a flight at that time of year? What am I seeing? And you know what? Maybe I can fly out of, there are like 4 or 5 different airports that I will check because sometimes that little airport will get it cheaper than the big airport. But again, just the inane stuff that I actually don't mind and in fact even enjoy doing is stuff that she totally doesn't want to do. And I think, I know people who don't always let that happen is that whole let the people around you. And you know what? Even if we're not talking spouses, even if we're talking, you're going on a trip with friends, each one of you probably has some unique skill sets. Let the people who are going on a trip with you play to their strengths because it gets them more invested in the trip. And it just makes it more fun for
everybody. It improves your relationship with them. Letting them do that for you adds like trust. And it really, it makes me feel good to know that Claire is not at all concerned with charging and stuff. And she trusts me to do that. And I trust her to do her part. And I think it's just good for your relationship in general with anyone.
Yes. Well, it's to some extent strengths is packing. But to me, the number one packing thing that I will always say now to everybody is always have at least one change of clothes minimum in your carry-on.
That is the most important thing. I would say if there is any possible way that you cannot check a bag, do it.
Yes.
When Claire and I went to San Francisco for a week, we checked no bags. We carried on our entire week's worth of packing. And it was amazing because you don't have to, if you're flying somewhere other than Southwest, you don't have to pay to check a bag. You don't have to worry about going to baggage claim. You get off the plane, you go to where your ride is, and you get in the car. You don't have to stand at the carousel for 30 minutes waiting for your flight number to show up. And deal with the stress of like, oh, did they lose my luggage? Is my bag going to be filthy? Checking bags is almost surely going to be a bad experience. I hate the anxiety of them weighing the bag because I've waited at home, but I don't know what their scale's like. And the anxiety of that, and then you watch the bag go into that little hole at the end of the conveyor belt, and it's like, I may not ever see anything that's in there again, and I need to really make my peace with the fact that that pair of shoes that I really like may just be gone forever. And Magical Express makes it a little easier because you just get off the plane and go down to the bus, and Disney takes care of your bags, but every time I've gone and I've done Magical Express with a checked bag, I always have this like little tick in my brain where I'm like, I'm going to get to the room tonight and my bag's not going to be on the bed. Like, because then I've got this anxiety all day when I'm at a park that it's not going to be there. Like, what if it's not there? What am I going to do? Then I have not seen my bag since 12, 14 hours ago in a city that's 2,000 miles from where I am. Like, talk about hard to track. It's like, I didn't even get it. I wasn't at the airport and told the airport, hey, my bag didn't show up. It's supposed to have been in so many people's hands. And like, is it in the wrong room? And maybe I'm a little paranoid, but.
And here's the thing. I would have said that you're just being paranoid up until I went on Magical Express and my bag never showed up.
Oh, no.
Yes, that's. The whole making sure you have a pair of clothes rule for my carry-on, that wasn't always a rule until my checked bag didn't show up. Yes. And so then you call the front desk and you tell them and they go, oh, well, no worries. We'll check, we're going to figure this out. And then they call this person, and they call that person. And, you know, 45 minutes later, you find out your bag never made it off that plane and very likely never made it on that plane. And then if you're like me, you get to call the Orlando taxi company and head down to, you know, Target or Walmart or whatever clothing store you can find to, you know, buy some clothes to last you with the hopes that your clothes will show up. And in my case, didn't show up till 2 weeks when I was back at home. Yes. I will give the airline credit. They did show up eventually, but there is no guarantee that that will happen. So yes, now I definitely have that worry every time. And again, unfortunately, I'm stuck where I have to check bags, but I've got my changes of clothes. You know, I've got at least one change, if not two, in my check or in my carry-on bag. So I'm a little bit
that is my worst fear about Magical Express, and you have just realized my worst fear. I've never heard that, and I understand that your case was whatever airline you were flying's fault.
Yes, it was not. This was not on DME, because clearly, if it had been on them, the bag would have turned up in like a day or two. The fact that it turned up 2 weeks later and the airline was the one bringing it to me very quickly told me who was at fault here. So beware, the checked bag is not a guarantee.
Did you get reimbursed for all the clothes you had to buy?
I probably could have, but you know, I don't know. It wasn't that great of a concern to me. At that point, I was just happy to have my bag back. You know, it's another one of those things where if you're squeaky wheel, I'm sure that they'll do it. But at least in my case, they didn't go out of my way to tell me that was going to happen. I just kind of went, whatever. I'm sure I'll continue using.
No, they
clothes.
Probably would have told you you didn't opt into the optional baggage claim insurance. Man, that's awful. But I'm glad it worked out, and I'm glad you were able to get some clothes.
You're glad. Everybody in the parks. there were a lot of people who were happy about that decision.
So I want to, we talked about fast passes earlier, and I just had a thought. When we were booking our fast passes for Hollywood Studios, Rock and Roller Coaster is now on a different fast pass group than Tower of Terror. Weren't they on the same one last year when we were talking about this? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Because they're still doing the pick one from this group, pick two from this group. But I could have sworn that I was not able to book both Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster at the same time.
Okay, so since we're gonna switch gears a little bit here, let me ask you the question: Was Rock and Roller your group A Fast Pass? So you did not group A Toy Story Midway Mania.
No, that's a B, isn't it? No.
Mm-mm.
Well, no.
It's one of the one from this group, and then the two from this group. It was like Tower and I forget what else, but yeah, Toy Story Midway Mania and Rock and Roller were both in the A.
It wasn't
group.
It was a contest between Rock and Roller and Fantasmic.
Ah, yes.
I don't anticipate that I'll be going on Toy Story Midway Mania this trip either. Although possibly, but we did not fast pass it, and I don't know that we could have because we waited 59 days, so we were a day late.
Oh well, everything is gone.
Yeah,
man.
all the Toy Story Midway Mania fast passes go away the minute that opens. So no, it was a definitely a choice between that and Fantasmic. But then Group B, I mean, we did Tower of Terror and Star Tours because Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular and Lights Motors Action and all that stuff in Group B. I was like,
yeah. That's the thing is in Group B. So you didn't do the first time in forever, a Frozen sing-along celebration?
No.
In Group B, I don't think there's anything else that would have had a wait that I would have really been interested in because we did the exact same two for Group B, and it was these are the two things that I would actually... Now, I will give Disney credit that both of those are things that will legitimately have lines that Fast Passes will help with, I think. Star Tours, there was a time when maybe that wasn't the case, but since they redid it, I think the lines have been back up there a lot.
And since the announcement of Star Wars Land, they've been longer. I've been watching the app, and they've been longer since Star Wars Land was announced.
People are hoping to get some little Star Wars Land Easter eggs in there, huh?
I guess so.
But yeah. So Fast Passes, I'm not sure the way that it's set up or the way it was set up, but yeah, I made the difficult decision, and I made the decision based on the fact that I know with my family, they're going to want to do Midway Mania. And I will want to do Midway Mania as well. I enjoy it. It's fun. And of those two rides, I feel like Rock and Roller is the one that we can more likely, A, get on with a shorter wait, and B, maybe have the chance that there would be some fast passes available day of. And Midway Mania, that's just not going to happen.
I mean, Midway Mania is always about 90 minutes. Rock and Roller Coaster is usually like, what, an hour?
Yeah. I've seen Midway go up to 180.
That is so insane.
Yeah, I have seen it be 180. More like, that's very few times. More 120, I think, is kind of the high end for that one.
That's so crazy. Still not Elsa high, and, but that's high.
No. And at those points, I think Rock and Roller will still only be at like 90, which I know only like 90, but comparatively, it's going to stay a little bit lower, right. So that'll be the lower weight. But yeah, so that's how I did my fast passes. But I don't know. It seems logical that those would have been in the same place at one point.
Yeah, I thought they were, because we didn't have a Rock and Roller fast pass. We had to wait in line. But I don't know. The Group A, Group B thing, they said they were going to tweak it. And I'm glad they are, because I think if they have to do the Group A, Group B, that they really should be looking at, like, you know, what people are actually doing. And I think they're going to have to redo a lot of that in the next 10 years as Star Wars Land and Toy Story Land, you know, come in and the park is totally different. And there are actually more things that people want to do, because I can't imagine wanting to fast pass Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular. And fast passing Lights, Mirrors, Action was a waste of time.
In my experience, they'll be handing out fast passes for Lights, Mirrors, Action, going, hey, you want to skip the line at Light Motor? Because there's not going to be a line. I'm sorry. No hate on that attraction, but it holds so many people. It can suck in so many people, and it's been there for so long that it's just the way that one goes. But, you know, again, since we're making this little journey off into Fast Pass land really quick, Magic Kingdom, still no A, B grouping.
Yeah.
Like, does that not kind of blow your mind a little bit?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy that you can just kind of go wherever you want. But I think the different lands kind of A, B group it for them, or I guess A, B, C, D, E group for them. Because, like, to have a Fast Pass in Adventureland at 9 and then a Fast Pass in Tomorrowland at 10, kind of going to stink. Because then you're having to rush around and stuff. So I feel like the size and kind of the spread outness of that park and how there is so much to do kind of does their A-B grouping for them.
I can see that. I can definitely see the argument for so much to do that it A-B groups itself. And maybe that means we'll start to see that more in some of the other parks, especially, I would think, Hollywood Studios with the expansions of Star Wars Land and Toy Story Land. Maybe that'll A-B group itself as well.
Yeah, I hope so. That'll do it for this week's episode. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at www.missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.